Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Mike Shope.
Is this the beginning? Let me see if I can do it. Who's gonna be this long and white? Santa's gonna be this long and white. Who comes round on a special night? Special night, beard that's white.
And the bulldog.
Who comes round a reindeer sleigh? Oh, backwards. Eight little reindeer, pull his sleigh, reindeer sleigh, come our way, ho, 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 cherry nose, cap on head, suit that's red, special night, beard that's white. Are you not entertained?
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
No, it's not that entertaining. I was happy with myself. That's what came out. What can I say? The Bills and the Patriots, wow. Monday night, both coaches are so excited to tell you how good the other team is. They just got to have you really focus on that. We are the underdog here, guys. We are really not. We're not supposed to win. We're not. I mean, these are my words now. Come on. Nice try, all right? Nice try. Very coachy move here, the first place New England Patriots. Great. Good one. Nice try. They played the Jets twice. You played them once. Okay. Make no mistake. This is the Bills' time. And McDermott has to know that. And everybody else knows it. And if New England, you said this yesterday, if New England swoops in and takes the AFC East this year, I mean, that's bad.
Yeah, I agree.
So he can... If it's for his team or if it's for the public or whatever his point really is when it's like the first place New England Patriots, you know, whatever that – if that works for you, that's great. But nobody out here is buying if it's this is what it's meant for, that this is not like a season where the Bills were the favorite and actually still are. That's what matters more. Well, that's actually not right. It's not what matters more. But
who's in first place does matter more.
That's right. It matters less.
At least when it ends. You know, it might not matter on December 1st or November 30th when he made the comments. But, you know, it'll matter more at the end. And, you know, what they do on Monday night will play a big role in that. They've got two games with this team in the next few weeks. And so, yeah, man, I don't know. I don't think him saying that is ducking the pressure that they should be feeling. If anything, I feel like he's throwing it back on his players like, hey, you're not in first place anymore. And if anything, that should turn the pressure back up. I don't think he's trying to buffer expectations by calling them the first place Patriots. I think he's reminding every guy on his team that you're not in first place anymore. And he wants us to know he's reminding them. And I don't know, maybe there's some motive there that I'm not seeing, but I don't know. I loved it. I did. I thought it was appropriate. And to me, exactly what a cliche or not, whatever a coach should be doing in this spot, it totally worked for me, how he sounded yesterday about New England right now.
All right.
Because I'll bet it work out. You know, I would want to bet appealing to his players in that way would work for them. Like, you haven't done anything yet.
Well, it applies to him, too.
Sure.
I mean, it's his record, too. It's his team.
Yeah, okay. I don't think he's denying that by saying what he said.
No, you can't. It's undeniable. it's a Belichick move, right? And that's not to say that there's something wrong with – it's how a lot of coaches talk. Like, the other team is always really good. There's some effort almost every week made to exaggerate how good the opponent is. And this is, you know, a relatively mild effort, I suppose, to do that. It's not even an opinion. When he said, how good the Dolphins were and pointed out how many high draft picks they had, I mean, they were like the worst team in the league at that point. And the Bills treated them accordingly. They played them like they were the worst team in the league. But, you know, he might think that his messaging mattered in that way. And maybe it did. And who could tell you whether it did or not? Belichick is always talking about how good the Bills are, even when they're lousy. So this isn't really going that far to say they're in first place. They actually are in first place, as you know. Okay. Welcome back to our show. Joe, I was looking at Sabres. So BetOnline sent out the email today with like NFL odds, NBA odds. There were some interesting NFL ones, and then they had hockey.
Okay.
And they had Don Granato at 33-1 to be coach of the year.
To be coach of the year.
Right. To win the Jack Adams Award.
33-1?
33-1.
And are there 15 coaches out of them?
More. I think. Right. Maybe more.
I'm looking at the whole list right now. He's maybe middle of the pack-ish. Like 17 or 18th.
Yeah, that's right.
But I wouldn't go near it. You'd have to make the playoffs. You have to go make the playoffs.
That was going to be my question. If they make the playoffs, like, what does that make Don Granato? Like a finalist?
Coach of the year.
Yes. No.
He would be a finalist for coach of the year if they made the playoffs. I 100% believe that.
I almost feel like I'd be stunned if they made the playoffs and he didn't win it.
And he didn't win.
Like, this team does not have, like, for the casual voter around the country that's not watching the Sabres every night, they basically, compared to other teams, don't know who's on this team. And when that happens,
that's 100% right.
And you don't have any star power to give credit to, then the coach gets all of it. So if they were to make the playoffs, I think it would be seen as like he took this ragtag bunch of misfit toys and he pushed them into the playoffs. He's coach of the year. Like right now, Daryl Sutter is the favorite.
Yes.
I mean, Sutter's got Goudreau and he's got Tkachuk and he's got Markstrom. Like there's players there where you can push credit onto.
But he must not have that many or else he would not be the favorite to win coach of the year. Coach of the year is a team, usually it's a team with like the highest PDO and a team with medium expectations that wins a division.
I think, they are first in their division. They are getting, I mean, the goalie is maybe an MVP candidate at this point. So there's your saves.
Yep. Second
and
in PDO.
Expectations weren't great. I mean, they were a team that was, you know, go get Jack Eichel. We got to do something dramatic. I mean, they're talking about dumping Goudreau and Monahan for 2 years now. So, I know some of that's just hyper-maniacal Canadian media, but expectations weren't great there at all. Like, they might have been contend for a playoff spot. And, you know, so far, I don't know, they still could end up there. But they're off to a great first, you know, month and a half or whatever it's been.
Their save percentage is .954. The second highest in the league is .941. Right. That's how you win coach of the year.
Even .941 is insane.
Even .941 is it's the second best in the league. Like, that's how you win coach of the year. It's the worst. It's the worst. It's always the team, not always, literally, but it's often the team that really doesn't outplay you. They just get the saves and they get their shooting percentage up, which are mostly luck stats, and they win games and they're the coach of the year. Like, that's it. What does that really have to do with coaching? He's got both goalies going, too. Like, both guys. Like, Markstrom, who's the backup? Vladar?
Yeah, Vladar. They traded for him from Boston. Yep.
So, like, they have both guys going. .954. League average is, I don't know. Median is, what's that? .928. Buffalo, .918.
It's higher this season league-wide than it's been in the past.
Seattle, .893. That's not going to win Coach of the Year. That's going to mean a rush of articles about, like, oh, it's an expansion team. Expansion teams are back.
No, they're dead last in PDO this year.
Way at the bottom.
Yeah.
Saves, at least.
I'm surprised the Sabres are as high as 918.
I am, too, a little bit.
But Anderson was, you know, was at a pretty good number when he left, I think, before he got hurt. Maybe 920 himself.
He's on the trip, I heard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what Joe said at 3 o'clock. I heard. Yeah,
not much update other than that though. Just that he's skating. That's it.
You guys going to do
on his own, right?
Are you going to do the buy tickets to 3 games, and then if they win all 3, you get another ticket promotion? Are you guys
going to
do that?
I'm not. I am not going to partake in that. I hope people do, but no, I don't think I will.
What would you need? I said earlier I'd need $150 thrown in. Then I would do it. Not saying they should
honestly
really offer you $150, by the way. That's just what I would need.
I just don't.
$150.
I'm not dreading it. I'm very curious. I mentioned, I think, when this came up earlier, that we've got tickets already for the Colorado game on the 22nd of December. Owen's coming home. John Gale, if the border thing holds up,
mm-hmm.
and you know, we'll see about that. And it'll be really great. Like Owen, when I told him that Gale was a possibility, like he was just super excited. I don't know who our fourth is going to be, but we've got 4 tickets to that. And I'm interested, curious, and apprehensive because I don't like going when it's like that.
Yeah.
When it's like that. So this has been, you know, just a brutal time, like turning every game on. I just, yeah. Oh, but, you know, am I a part of the solution? I'm telling you, I'm not taking them up on any ticket offer. I don't really want to go. But, you know, the kid's coming home and Gail can hopefully come from Canada and, like, that'll be a really fun night for us. But, like, it's just a thing to do with a couple of people and hopefully a third that all love hockey. It's not like I got to get to a Sabres game. I don't know. Does that make sense? Like, so I'm not eager to get in there is I'm going a long way to say that. So I appreciate that they're trying this offer.
Me too.
It works
mm-hmm.
and it boosts things for them, but, and I respect and appreciate the people that are going, but to me, they're getting what they deserve. And I don't like saying that. I don't like feeling that way. But they're getting what they deserve. Not the players on this team, but the organization. They have neglected things badly enough for long enough that they have landed here. And I hope that I and anyone who feels like I feel right now come around sooner rather than later, because I don't know how sustainable selling 8,000 tickets a game is.
I know, right? You got to be a little worried.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because,
right?
If this is your commentary, but like part, for me, it's, I don't know what I'm supposed to grab onto. You know, like when they were tanking, quote unquote, in 2014, I had no problem grabbing onto that. Like they had been pretty good 3 years earlier. And it felt like that group had run its course, so this is what I would have done too. And I enjoyed it. Like I had no problem grabbing onto that. A lot of people did. But for me, that was an enjoyable year. Just sort of you have to change the formula a little bit in your brain. And I liked it. This, I don't know what – I don't care at all about last place. I don't care at all about like the draft or anything like that. Maybe I will, but there's just been too many rounds of that. And I don't know what about, with due respect, I mean, to the players and the coaches and all of that. I mean, this isn't personal. It's just like, I don't know what I'm supposed to look at on the team and think like, okay, that's the future. That is this guy, this group, even Granato, who we mostly like, you know, he sounds good. He makes good sort of, he has good theory on the game, I think. Mm-hmm. Good way about him. But I don't know. I mean, I feel like most NHL coaches are interchangeable to begin with. Let alone on a team this bad. Like it's probably never going to be at a point where you feel like you have to keep the coach, because when the team is at the top of the standings, they don't often do that. They'll just change the coach out in the middle of a good season, right? Message gets stale or whatever. So it's not like that valuable a position to me for the purposes of the Sabres becoming a winning team or a champion. So I don't know what I'm supposed to sort of tap into, and it's not atmosphere. There's like, you know.
No,
what?
The atmosphere, what I'm saying is the atmosphere is a deterrent right now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's the thing. Nobody wants to go to the place nobody goes. You know, like this, it feeds itself. You just feel like, well, this is not a cool thing to do. Look, nobody's here. And, you know, I'm not saying that's like at the front of everyone's mind, but I think it's a thing that can subtly work on you. You turn the game on and nobody's there. Well, what kind of urgency should I have to get to the thing that nobody wants to go to right now? Or I should say nobody.
There's, right, it's not, you know, nobody. Right.
But it's, you know, half full building. And that works on you, I think. It definitely works on me. I'm admitting it. I mean, I don't like how I feel about it, but that's how I feel about it right now. So, and you know, when I say they're getting what they deserve, I mean, even what, you know, you might not care about tanking this year. And I welcome that because I hated those 2 years. I mean, hated them. But I don't know what they're doing. I mean, they were in a terrible position, again, that they sort of left themselves in. They bear some responsibility for how the Eichel thing unfolded, of course. But, like we said yesterday, I mentioned it, I don't know, I said it maybe 3 or 4 times in the span of 2 minutes. They don't have NHL goaltending. And what are you trying to do exactly if that's your starting point for the season is a 40-year-old guy who played 4 games last year, and Aaron Dell and Dustin Tokarski. I recognize Paul. I'm hearing Paul in my head say they wanted UPL to win the job, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. And okay, you know.
But he didn't.
But he didn't. And banking on that is flimsy as hell. I mean.
Of course, so, everybody would have told them that.
Yeah.
Everybody would have told them that. So
tell me again what their objective is this year. Like, you know, right? Like, Don Granato is going to let it all hang out. Okay, good. And I also like how he talks about the game. I think he's got a very good mind, and I like his approach. But playing this way with that goaltending, you should finish last. I mean, they're not projecting to finish last. Arizona may outdo them. And
flat
even
circle.
Ottawa and Montreal are behind them right now. I recognize that, but you know, if your goaltending plan is Aaron Dell and Craig Anderson, tell me again you're not trying to finish last.
Well, they brought in some smart people in that front office, and I would like to assume that there's no way any of those new guys would have thought, like, the goaltending point holds water. Who they want to have be there, that could be for show, too. Like, it was not likely. The Kraken signed Philip Grubauer, who was a Vezina finalist, and they have by far the worst save percentage in the NHL. If you are trying to predict goaltending, be you an analyst or an executive in the league, you are lost. So the Sabres, these people the Sabres hired, I'm quite sure were not like, oh, we got the goaltending. But, you know, this is really something else. This is, do you have goaltending that can keep you above water, right? That your team doesn't get just completely wrecked and demoralized and guys want to leave because you're losing all the time because you're, you know, kind of an averagey sort of team, but you can't get saves. That's really kind of what they are so far. Like, they're not good. They're definitely not above average, but, you know, they're not getting destroyed every night. They're just getting beat. And the goaltending is a big part of that. So, I don't know. But I don't know what the plan is. The plan should be, as far as goaltending goes for every team, is you just take your shot. You put somebody in there that he's a respectable idea, which the Sabres, you know, that's your point, and I agree with it. It's barely
Yeah,
that.
They didn't.
It's not
they,
really that.
I don't think you could really convince me that they did that.
No, okay, and that's fine. And you know, sort of last year a little bit too, but not Ullmark so much, because he's all right. But a guy like Ullmark satisfies me. Somebody on that level where you're like, okay, let's see what we get. It's just so all over the place every year with all the bounces and just the way the league is, the way the game is played, that, I don't know, it can't be how you build your team, but it can't also be how your team explodes, right? Where just I don't know. Am I making sense? I mean, I think Seattle is kind of that right now, and it's not quite right to say, well, they're an expansion team. Like they play okay, but their goaltending has been terrible, and they're losing. I don't know why I keep making it about Seattle.
Right, Joe, no, but you know, the point is you can try to spend money and be convinced that you are throwing assets at goaltending and still have it not work.
Right.
And that can happen.
Hutton.
Right. But to me, they didn't do the first part at all. It was entirely predictable. Maybe this is easy to say because I predicted it. I mean, Craig Anderson is hurt. Go figure. 40-year-old guy who played 4 games last year. Amazing. Who could have envisioned that?
Yeah.
It's just the whole thing was just built on tinder sticks.
Allmark is 33-1, the same 33-1 right now to win the Vezina. I bet you looked.
I didn't, actually.
You didn't? So you didn't think of it?
That's news to me.
Joe has that bet.
I haven't thought about him winning the Vezina since I made the bet.
Joe has that bet.
Yes.
So he's not off to a great start there.
No. Now Rask is saying he wants to be back in Boston, and like I don't know.
He played last night. I watched some of that game, but I don't remember. They were in Detroit, and I saw it late, tied 1-1. I don't know what happened.
They lost 2-1.
They lost 2-1.
But they outshot Detroit 42-16.
Right.
So
I made that bet, I think, in the summer. Maybe before training
camp.
Yeah,
I made that bet for you. I could probably tell you the date.
Yeah.
It was August 16th.
The thing I didn't anticipate, 14th. Like my reasoning for thinking he was a good long shot bet for that was they paid him. He's going to be the starting goalie on a team that limits shots from the middle, the high danger chances, as much as anybody in the league. He's going to win a ton of games because of the Bruins, and he's going to get credit for replacing Tuukka Rask, and he's going to be in the running for that. What I didn't anticipate was he's not going to be the number one. Because
right, Swayman would take the job, right?
And that's kind of happened. It's 10 starts versus 9, so it's basically 50-50. But he's not getting the amount of starts that's going to be required for him to be in that race.
Still time. I'm seeing that I bet the Chargers to make the playoffs on that same trip. Well, I got to start rooting for that. I forgot about that.
It's going okay.
We both forgot about these. Let's take a break. We're way late. We'll have a game next here on WGR. Joe's computer is freezing. So I'm talking.
Turn up the heat.
Right. Good point.
I should be fired.
You should be fired for that.
For that, yeah.
Big night in fantasy football. Woo! 10 o'clock waivers. Come on. Getting very exciting, Bulldog. You would love being around me.
How much are you putting on Keeney?
Keeney Nwangwu?
Yes.
A couple bucks, if that.
I'm big on him this week.
Do you have 2 kickoff return touchdowns?
2 kickoff return touchdowns.
That's pretty good
for the Vikings.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Mike Zimmer said today he will play the Madison role with Madison playing the Dalvin Cook role and Cook hurt. So to whatever extent Alexander Madison was playable in fantasy before with Cook as the starter and healthy, that's Keeney Nwangwu. Now, he's a rookie. Matt likes him.
4th-round pick this year.
Vikings, Bulldog, made it tough with their skill position draft picks in terms of pronunciations. Keeney Nwangwu and Emir Smith-Marsetti, both on the challenging side of things. He left.
He literally did just text me, I dropped. I'm assuming that wasn't on purpose.
I'm assuming it was.
It's funny if it is.
It was perfect timing.
Yeah, it's a great job. While we get reconnected with our fans and Bulldog, brought to you by Bond, Schenick & King, a full-service Buffalo law firm, Matthew Stafford, I believe, is one play away from tying a tough record.
Okay. A good one? Or a bad
one? Not a good one, no.
A bad record?
According to BetOnline, Stafford is 1 pick 6 this week away from tying the record for most consecutive games with 1.
Oh, I know. And Matt Schaub has it, doesn't he?
Matt Schaub went 4 games in a row, and Stafford is at 3.
You don't want that record. He's not been good. He's been And I'm like, he's my guy, but
they lost two games and looked shaky, and guess what we got last Saturday? Oh, he's got four injuries. I mean, I believe it, but this has happened most years with Matthew Stafford, where he's very durable. He plays, you know, he gets hit a lot. He's been on bad teams too. And you get late in the season and he's hurt everywhere and his play has fallen off. So I don't know. They have Jacksonville at home this week. You wouldn't want to lose that game.
No, this is where you get back on track.
Then they have at Arizona next Monday night. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's good.
Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins are still both like not 100%. They had the bye and they were both like, Murray was present for the part of practice that the media watched, but like they're not calling him 100%. Same with Hopkins. Same with Tyreek Hill, by the way, who did not practice today in the Chiefs' first practice after a bye week. One more? Oh, I hear Bulldog back there. He's back. Was that a Fred thing or a fantasy thing? Or?
No.
Neither?
Nothing.
That's what I would say.
Just in time to tell you, Kini Nwangwu.
Nwangwu.
By the way, he went one pick ahead of Ramondre Stevenson this past draft.
Ooh. Seen him, Bulldog Stevenson, for the Pats?
He is going to be making his tonsils gas mask debut.
Really? Wow. You must be in bad shape.
Well, I mean, Derrick Henry, right. AJ Dillon, bye.
Right.
So it's like him or one of Baltimore's guys, maybe
Freeman.
Yeah. And I think the Baltimore guy, if it's Freeman, is even like projected a little bit more than Stevenson, but I'm throwing him in there in part because I noticed that my opponent this week has Damian Harris.
Ooh.
So I thought it'd be fun to have the two New England running backs. For fun, yeah.
Whatever. At the Bills. You're starting the backup Patriot running back at the Bills in a huge game.
Hold on a second. That's me you're playing.
That's right.
Say, I have Damian Harris.
Yep.
All right. Harris versus Stevenson.
I figured you'd know that, so I didn't say I'm playing Joe. Right.
I didn't until this second, actually.
What's going on with that league? Paul sent an email like that everybody's got a losing record and people aren't putting in their lineups.
I don't know.
I'm a game out in last.
I don't pay enough attention to everybody else. I mean, I haven't noticed, you know, guys who are not playing against our team. So, but I can't speak to what's going on in the other games.
That's a better question. That's another thing Sean McDermott kind of says. Like, that's a better as a question is probably better for the other teams,
right,
than for me.
Right. So I don't know. Yeah, Paul was kind of – he was a little ticked off in that email. So I don't know what's going on there, but
– yeah.
We're still going. I mean, we're playing for seeding here.
I'm not in it. I just get the emails because I've been in it. So
right.
Louie is my proxy manager. Mm-hmm. How is he doing? Is he somebody that – terrible?
Not well.
Is he somebody that's not putting in lineups?
I'm checking right now.
I take that as a personal slap in the face. How do you like that?
From what I'm looking at, he didn't have a kicker in week 10. But
bad.
His kicker was on bye.
Yeah, well, you get another one.
Yeah, I had to go get another kicker because my kicker's on bye.
That is sort of like a form thing. You got to if there's a transaction limit with Paul, but you've got to make sure you leave at least one if you have to sub out a kicker or a defense because you're only carrying one or even a quarterback in some leagues, right? You got to do it, don't you think?
Sure, transaction limit, but you how does it work? We pay for extra transactions.
You pay for all your transactions, if I remember right.
Oh,
and there's a limit to how many you can make.
I might be close to the. I feel like every year. I have this you say this every time we talk about that league. And I'm not complaining that it's redundant, but because it's notable, right? You always point it out like it's harder to manage. I'm almost sure I've made more than any kind of a limit this year. I've done a lot of stuff and I just keep doing stuff and like I don't know.
Well, maybe I'm wrong. I say it all the time. I'm not in the league. I really don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's
maybe
what
it just seems like I'm doing more stuff than I am. I don't know. It's not like I'm super busy, but I feel like I've made a lot of moves this year.
That's what I thought it was. Like next week, for instance, I only have one defense. I have the Colts defense. And they're on bye next week. And, or is that in 2 weeks? That's in 2 weeks. No, next week.
Next week is the last week of byes.
And if there's a defense out there on like Sunday night or Monday night, I might think, okay, well, I'll wait to see if it's worth spending whatever it costs to make a transaction to see if it even matters. If I'm down by 70, and like, what's the point of spending whatever it costs to add that defense?
I know. Week 10, though?
Yeah.
Aren't we still playing?
unless that's what he was doing. I'd have to ask him. If he was just like, all right, I'll wait to see if I need a kicker for the Monday night game.
I think you're right. It's your brother. The proper thing is to listen to his argument. Right? That's the proper thing to do. I'd like to listen to you explain why this happened. I'll give you the opportunity to do that. That feels appropriate.
Yeah.
All right. By the way, Joe, I didn't thank you for telling me... Well, let's play this game tomorrow, okay?
Sure.
I didn't thank you for telling me that my favorite team had a game today. Appreciate that.
Everton?
Yes.
They got smoked.
I didn't know that Everton was on. Joe tells me... Joe likes Liverpool. They were playing each other. Joe tells me Everton is on today. Oh. Great. That's my favorite team. I'll watch it. And then I was thinking to myself, I'm not sure I said it to Joe, but I said to myself, like, I wonder how they're doing. And it turns out they had lost, like, they had one win in their last nine before today. And today they were just handled 4-1. So it's one win in their last 10. And this is a joke. I'm being funny here. This is full circle to the beginning of the show when we had the laugh track out. Because this is not really funny. But if you have a favorite team, and if you claim a favorite team in sports, you should A, know when they're on, know when they play, B, know something about how their season is going. And I was 0 for 2.
Yeah.
My daughter is into the Rams a little bit. Remember this from a couple of years ago?
Yes.
Jordan Gulp?
Yes, right.
She heard Jared Goff, and she was watching the game, and she's like, she heard it, Jared Goff as Jordan Gulp. So we made fun of that and just had a fun time with that. That was her favorite team, the Rams. When we went to Hawaii, we flew through Los Angeles, and at LAX, she bought a Rams hat at a little gift shop. So she's been wearing this Rams hat all the time. Got to Pearl Harbor, a very serious, amazing, beautiful in its way place, Pearl Harbor. Just an incredible experience there, very solemn. And we got to the entrance, and the guard, I don't think we needed ID or something, but whatever. We're walking in very quietly into Pearl Harbor. She's got her Rams hat on, and the guard says something like, have a nice day. Thank you for coming. Go Niners. The guard at the security yeah. guy at Pearl Harbor gave her shade for having the Rams hat on. I'm thinking like, yeah. This guy doesn't know, but that's fine. So Rams. Today, she had the Rams hat on. She's getting ready for the bus. And I said, you know, the Rams have lost 3 in a row. And she's like, so? She says, I don't care about how they do. I just like the colors. You know yep. that. She's like, you know
right.
that.
Right.
Okay, but maybe I thought you would want to know how they're doing. I'm like, okay, not really.
Well, you got to respect that.
She likes the colors.
Love the colors.
So do I.
Gotta love the colors. Yeah.
The Rams look great.
I like those slightly off-white uniforms they wear.
Yeah.
I like that look.
They take some getting used to, maybe, but
yeah, I'm okay. I've always liked that look. In baseball, too, when the Giants are the team that comes to mind for me in baseball, that have the home whites are like a little eggshell-y rather than just flat-out bright white.
The Padres have had like that sand-colored uniform, too. Giants. The Giants is right. I love that uniform. I agree with you.
The Rams come a long way, by the way. They had that third jersey a couple years ago where the gold on their helmet didn't match the gold on their jerseys.
That was bad.
That was horrible. But they're good now. They're just cleaner. They're a lot cleaner looking than they used to be. Now we just got to get the Panthers to get rid of that silver. And then we're on our way.
That's a problem?
Yes.
The Panthers' silver is a problem?
Three colors. White, blue, black. You don't need the silver. Silver helmets. No. Get it out of there. It'll look a lot cleaner. I think. It's one of my pet peeves of NFL uniforms.
The Panthers.
And that the Broncos just need to start over. Not start over. Well, start over, yeah, like their originals.
go back.
Yeah. The '70s, not or eighties, not the like
the Elways.
Yeah, okay. The early Elways.
The early Elways. Yeah.
Right.
No, what, the Super Bowl Elways aren't atrocious.
The Drive Elways.
Yeah.
The Drive Elways. The losing Super Bowl Elways.
Yes.
The losses Elways.
Yes, the L Elways.
What is your favorite Bills Monday night game, by the way? Did you say?
I don't really have one.
Okay.
I guess it's last year against New England.
Yes. You guys in that game.
There's nothing for me.
You guys in that game last year at New England. Bulldog, like, he's just in tears over Belichick slamming the phone. He's just, that was the greatest thing ever. And you in that game, that, you know me in that game.
Yeah, you weren't here.
COVID day.
COVID day.
That was the day I started coughing and I went to get tested and didn't know yet, but I was not allowed to leave my room. Once I got back from the test, I was not allowed. I was told by management at home, you are not allowed to leave your room. So I am, not only is it Bills Patriots for the division and everything, I am in a league where I needed like less than 33 points from Allen. And he struggled early. There were some of those games late last year, he didn't just destroy you right away. Like maybe not Denver, but a couple of those games were sort of, it took a minute. And New England, he kind of struggled early a little bit. And I'm just listening to my wife watch the game, and she's just like cackling over, he started to hum, and just, you know, oh, wow! I'm sitting upstairs. I was able to watch it somewhat on my phone through the Yahoo Fantasy app. I could see, like, some, but it was always late. So I would know 15 seconds or so, like, just know in advance what was going to happen. And, you know, they're going to win, but now I just can't lose this league. And I did, by a point. Last play, Allen to Diggs, left sideline, touchdown, then he left the game. He didn't even hang around for any sort of kneel-down potential. That was it. That was a great day. Yeah.
I think my favorite. That is, yeah, right. Despite it being so recent, it's an entirely respectable answer, regardless of Joe's age.
Especially, though,
for best Monday night. I mean, because of the Belichick and the fun, it was just so, it was so emotional. Like, you weren't around for even a few days after that. Were you gone that whole week? I don't remember.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was New Year's week. Like, it was right after Christmas.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Right. That week was just – people were calling and crying, Mike, that Tuesday. Like, it was incredible. It was such a powerful experience watching that game. Watching them do that to New England on Monday Night Football really resonated, man. Like, it's, to me, that's a – I would defend that as my choice as my favorite Monday Night Football memory, even though it was not even a year ago yet.
I like it. Take a time out here and finish up. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, with Sneaky Joe and the Nightcap at 7 here on WGR. Welcome back, everybody. One more call, let's do, before we're done. Then Sneaky Joe. Hi, Bill. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to mention one of my favorite games. I was in Hawaii for a few years, and the 2007 Cowboys game, I took a day off of work to watch the game from a bar, and it was about 1 p.m. in Hawaii, and actually about 2 p.m., and it was one of the greatest times and one of the worst times I've ever had watching a game.
Yeah, that makes sense. That is the way to describe that game, I think.
Yeah, right.
Great and terrible.
Yeah.
So now,
in the last like 15 seconds, it was like
right. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Am I right that the Patriots have the same kicker as that night, as Dallas? Folk? Wasn't Folk the kicker for Dallas that night? 53 yards and twice or something?
Yes.
That's right.
That's the Patriot kicker. So something for the networks to play up if they want. So, Bill, if I may, but I was just in Hawaii and now I want to be this guy. So which island?
So I lived on Oahu. I was in Mililani right outside of Wheeler Army Airfield.
Isn't it the best?
I would go back in a heartbeat.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Well, it's good to know you. Thanks for calling in, Bill. Folk.
Awesome. Yeah. Hey, I want to mention something quick here. We got a couple minutes still. I don't want to run into Joe's time. A couple of players who have been named to the U.S. World Junior camp from Western New York, and I'd like to recognize that it happened. Declan McDonald, who you went to school on the island with his dad, I think.
Yeah, we played baseball.
Okay. Declan McDonald and Luke Pavicic are goalie. McDonald's a winger. He's playing for Kitchener of the OHL. He was in the AHL last year. He got drafted by Tampa a couple years ago. Anyway, he's been named to the camp, and so is Luke Pavicic, a goalie. He's from Clarence Center. Both of these guys came up with the Junior Sabres. Pavicic is a freshman at UMass. Currently, he was one of the top goalies in the North American Hockey League last year. And there's only four goalies going to the camp, and they'll take three, I think, to the tournament at the end of the month here, which begins on Boxing Day. So pretty cool. McDonald's dad only a little. I would say I know Pavicic's dad a little better than that. We ate a couple of beers at a couple of state camps. So I don't have – they're not like close friends or anything, but still, it's fantastic for Buffalo hockey, Western New York hockey, that both of these guys have a shot at the World Junior team for Team USA. So I just wanted to tip my hat to them because that's awesome.
Right on. I'm glad you did. Thanks. Sneaky Joe is next with the nightcap. Tomorrow, Joe Ostrowski returns and John Clayton. Friday, Ian Harditz from PFF. Sal, the roundtable as well. Sure, we'll get Sal on tomorrow too, right? That'll be the plan. Thank you, everybody. Mike Schopen and the Bulldog. This is WGR. Starts the same old thing again.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.